to. We've been looking at some stage setting events, getting the world ready for the tribulation. And, you know, I've had people say and heard many people say, well, this stuff's been going on since, you know, for millennia, since the time of the Roman Empire, and things have been bad, wars have been fought, and all this, but that lacks a little bit of a divine perspective, because 100 years ago, even especially 200 years ago, if you lived out in the country somewhere, the only way you knew it was bad is if something came to your farm. That's the only way that you knew it happened. You might go into town and pick up a little bit of news. In the 1800s, you had a newspaper. The Pony Express came along. Mail started being connected. The telegraph came along and got things closer together. But your perspective was still so very limited. Now, at the speed of light, we can get information from the other side of the world. And we get a lot of it. So then we have to sort through the data, because the data is massive. So how do you sort through the data and figure out what's right, what's wrong, what's important, what's not, and are these things all coming together? One of the things that has been done forever is the recording of wars and battles. I have a book that's about this thick, 3 inches thick, and in very small print, and it records all of the major battles back as far as anybody has recorded them. One of the things that nations did was record their victories. A lot of them didn't record their defeats, but only the Jews did. That's one of the things that makes the Bible interesting and unique, because it records when they went into battle and lost. And so that connects, that gives a lot of tie points to ancient history. When you start looking at wars and battles and things that are fought, we know at the end times there'll be wars and rumors of wars. Matthew 24, the Lord said that. We can look now at the data and realize there were more wars in the 20th century than on all of recorded history put together. Okay, so things are happening. We can look at earthquakes and they say, well, we can just measure them better. Yeah, we've got a lot of earthquakes. Oklahoma's running all kinds of earthquakes, 3.1, 3.5, those really don't even count as earthquakes. But earthquakes of significance, they have been recording with a high degree of accuracy since the 3rd century B.C. The Chinese did it, and you can check out Time Life books and find this. This is out of a secular publication, and they'll show you how they were able to measure the distance that the earthquake came from. They knew when things happened a long way off, because they had a set of standardized metal balls that they would put into a balance, and they could tell by the shifting of those things what happened, where the earthquake came from, how the intensity of it was. Measuring earthquakes has been around for a long time. And those things would measure earthquakes of a 6.0 or greater. So when you start looking at earthquakes of 6.0 or greater, the 20th century had more earthquakes, 6.0 or greater, than the rest of human history combined. Okay, so there's some things that just, that's not the final signs of the last days, but that's just one of the things that adds into the puzzle that says that, yeah, there have been cycles of history, things have gone up and down. If you were living in Europe, in certain times of history, it was a bad place to live, and you'd think the end is near indeed. But if you looked at some of the rest of the world, the same situation is not going on. But now we can see a convergence of events. As long as Israel's not back in the land, by the way, the rapture wasn't going to happen because there were too many prophecies concerning Israel. But now Israel came back into the land, May of 1948, and the clock started ticking because everything is converging. A whole lot of earthquakes in the 1700s meant nothing, prophetically. Meant absolutely nothing. But when Israel comes back into the land and everything else starts happening, you start taking a look. Now, what is getting ready to happen in the tribulation? One of the best known entities or individuals of the tribulation is the Antichrist. And what we know about him from Scripture is he is going to try to control the world. Now, there's statements in Scripture that says that he has authority over the world, but he's never going to have complete control of the world. He might be the president of a United Nations type of operation, but he's not going to control it all. He's not going to control the kings of the north, for example. He's not going to control the king of the south. So he is going to take power and maybe have authority, but he's not going to have control. And so we see things being set up, leading us to this point of trying to bring it all together under one head of a one world government, which is what the Scripture says is his worldview, his mindset. He wants to rule the world and he wants to be in charge of it. So we've looked at some of the stage setting events. We've looked at elitist thinking, which is man is the highest creation. That's the humanist manifesto that we looked at. And there is no God. There is no supernatural. It can all be explained scientifically. And we're all evolving. Interesting thing about the humanist manifesto is that they rewrite it every few years. Came out about 1933. I think that was number one. 73 was number two. I think number three came out in 2000, and they stayed right in the front. Well, we're evolving. So they have doctrine that isn't the doctrine of the humanist doctrine is evolving and changing all the time, and they're incorporating various things into it. Humanism is basically saying there are no gods, I'm God, because there is a supreme being somewhere. So humanism falls prey to the satanic lie as revealed in Genesis 3. The educational system is one of the ways they do it, because you have to bring children up in such a way that you can get them out and teach them what you want to teach them. So part of that came through the educational system. I remember when we were back in school, most of us are that old, and I remember the morning prayers, first hour, as we had the morning prayer in 1962, and that was part of what we did. And one of the students got up and offered a prayer to the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, to the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we went on about our day. We pledged allegiance to the flag as well, and some of the other things that we did on a regular basis. But that got taken out of it when they removed prayer out of schools in 1962. Of course, they said as long as there's going to be tests in schools, there will still be prayer. You can't quite legislate that out of existence. We saw the third part of management by crisis, rules for radical, Saul Alinsky. We read through those, and we can see that some of our influential people in this country believe that he had it all right, and the different things that they had to do to bring in their rules for radicals, which is basically a way to bring in secular humanism into the equation. Secular humanism claims to be atheistic, but an atheist is really one who believes in many gods. When you stop and think about it, because they believe that I'm God. I can make those decisions. I can set my standards. I can set my rules. I can do all those things. So atheism really is false, because you're claiming you know more than what has been revealed by God, and you know more than anybody else. The next thing we looked at was the Gaia hypothesis, which dealt with planet Earth, Mother Nature, biosphere, all the ecology, environmental movements and everything, and they basically want to take control of every aspect of your life. That's what it amounts to. Now, how are they going to do this? As long as the United States stands the way it does, it is still a bastion for freedom. And part of what makes it a bastion for freedom is the United States Constitution. And while that is in effect, then there are things that are not going to happen as far as a global government goes. And we're going to, because as long as the Constitution is in effect, then we have individual rights that are guaranteed, and we are a national entity to ourselves. That's what it sets up and establishes. And so we're not going to fall under a foreign head under this Constitution legally. Now, if we get rid of the Constitution and say that it's of no value as a document written over 200 years ago. We have evolved into a higher level of thinking. Okay, you get rid of the Constitution, then it is open to merge us into a regional situation, which is going to have they're projecting, and what they're trying to do is 10 world regions on the globe. That's one of the things that's been laid out since 1942. It just came about when this is the way they were going to divide the world up after the war was over. After World War II was over, it didn't happen that way, but the map was laid out, and this is how we're going to divide things up, turn them into 10 regions. Now, some people believe prophetically that the 10 regions of the world is the fulfillment of the prophecy of the 10 kings that we believe is actually the revived Roman Empire, which is Europe, that's going to be involved there. But some say that the 10 regions of the world is the 10 elements that the beast will control in his global domination. Now, they try to do away with the Constitution through reinterpretation. They take words that had a very clear meaning when they were written. We do know that words change. They take on different meanings. We know that usually the way languages work is they start with a very concise meaning, and then they degenerate. They get so many things put into this one word, and it's used in so many different ways that the word that had a precise meaning is now becomes a generic meaning. And whenever you just take the word itself and change it to something totally different, that's what postmodernism does. And postmodernism says, I can do it any way I want to do it. I can redefine that word. I can redefine the term male if I want to. And it's fine. I can redefine the term female if I want to. And that's just fine. Now, they try to confuse the clear meaning of the words through the employment of what is called postmodern tactics, and they've applied evolution to the interpretation of words. Now, you have here the Ten Amendments. Ten Amendments known as Bill of Rights. This is a civics night. Because sadly, a lot of times people in our country, Fourth Amendment. What is that? Okay, so without looking it up on your phone, okay, that's why there's some blanks outside of here. And just think through some things, because, you know, we know we need to have Scripture memorized, or the principle at least, in our soul, so we don't have to stop and look it up when we face a test. Okay, we know that. Well, we're a citizen in this country. We should at least have some concept of what these rights are. And if somebody says the Fourth Amendment, what are they talking about? Somebody says the Fifth Amendment, I have the right, I'm not going to incriminate myself. Everybody knows what that is. They've seen too many issues of Law and Order and CSI and all those other things that go on. The right against self-incrimination. But what are some of the other amendments we know as the amendments? So just try to think through this. First Amendment, when you hear First Amendment, what do you think of? What? Freedom of speech. What else? Huh? Freedom of assembly. Freedom of press. Of what?
Press.
Freedom of the press. That's freedom of speech, yeah.
Freedom of
religion. All right. First Amendment states, and you can make a note there, so it'd be a good idea to have some concept of where these are. It states, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. That's what it starts off with. Or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Or abridging the freedom of speech. Or of the press. Or the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Okay? Now that is an important right. Is anybody trying to do away with that now?
Yes.
Any examples?
Hate speech.
Hate speech?
Distorted.
New definitions, right? Of hate speech. Okay?
Race.
Huh?
Race
played racial issues that some are, some aren't, redefining things. What else? Any censorship in the press? Well, they some of it's self-done, some of it should be done internally before it shouldn't be out there, okay? But they have the right to say it. Now, what's going on in the right of freedom of speech? What's permitted under the freedom of speech? The story, but what is gone through the Supreme Court and been listed as okay because of freedom of speech? Something really bad, devastating, harmful to society. Pornography cleared the Supreme Court because of freedom of speech, freedom of expression, freedom of the press. They can print and publish whatever they want to do. In a free society, they can do that. And it's a marker of the society that they can be prospered. Freedom of religion. What did that mean when the founding fathers chose this? No state religion. No government ran religion. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what have they done in the name of that? What kind of religious organizations, so-called, have they issued permits to, if you will, to be a religious organization?
Mormons.
Huh? Satanism. That's the one I was looking for. Yeah, see, that you have the freedom in the United States to be a Hindu, to be a Muslim. You have the freedom to be a Buddhist. You have the freedom guaranteed under the Constitution. You can do that. You can be a Satanist under here. But do you think that's what the founding fathers intended? Yeah, it's not. They're saying that the government cannot make laws that's going to say you're going to be Anglican. You're not going to be. You have to be Church of England, or you can be put to death. And that's why they put that in there. You have the freedom to put something on the editor's page, opinion page of a newspaper, or to post it somewhere. And if you want to say that you don't like underinflated footballs, then you can do just that. I'm trying to be nice here because for those who haven't heard, those New England Patriots, those rascally guys, underinflated those footballs by 2 pounds. I'm just curious why the officials didn't notice that, because they handle those on every play. If it made a difference. Anyway, just my thoughts. So, what are we going to do? We've got thousands of pages of free speech going on about absolutely nothing worthwhile.
Hey. 2 days on that football.
What?
National press spent 2 days.
2 days on that, yeah. Yeah, while there are people dying around the world for standing up for their faith and standing up for Christianity, and we don't even get a blip in the paper. Anyway, Danny.
Isn't the obvious things that people categorize as free speech, it really isn't reflective or negative on the Constitution that it's allowed. It's a reflection of the people.
Yeah.
When we say they do this and they do that, we're talking about the people of the United States. And so the question for believers is why? Why is our country headed in a spiritual spiral right down to the bottom? That's the question for me.
Agreed. We have the freedom of speech, but how's it being used? Is the question mark. Now, Second Amendment. What do you think of with Second Amendment? We know that one pretty well. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And all you got to be in is in a country where you're not permitted to do that, and you see that the oppression is rampant. Well, I know if I was living in jolly old England right now in a house and as my home, I'd want somebody to protect myself, along with Yukon, Oklahoma. I mean, we're not in a safe world anymore. Third Amendment. This is tougher. I'll read it. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner be prescribed by law. The government can't take your house and say, we're going to put up a platoon or something in here, and we're going to take this over. And that was being done in England, and so that's part of why this was put into the Bill of Rights. They're saying,
in time of peace, right?
Yeah, in time of peace. Yeah. Time of war, it is different. It's interesting how the word war gets expanded to the point that we could be at war with, you know, we had the war on poverty, we had the war on this, the war on that. You just keep redefining the terms other than what they meant, because we know that this meant this had something to do with armed conflict versus not armed conflict, declared versus not declared. So you could end up in a situation where the war, as is being read or not read, could be something totally different other than what it was traditionally known to be. Fourth Amendment. We got the first down, the second down, third was a question mark. The Fourth Amendment deals with illegal search and seizure. It says the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. No warrant shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Now, I know sometimes that hinders law enforcement. And law enforcement, when they start trying to teach you about searches and seizures and the fruit of the crime and how far you can go and what you can't go, I mean, there are absolutely libraries full of case law on search and seizure. What's legal and what's not legal to do so. Can the government sift through your emails legally?
No.
Huh?
Public domain,
that's what they've declared it, isn't it? But what if I wrote it? Isn't it mine? But then when I put it out there in the public, well, it's not mine anymore, is it? When it goes back and forth. So here is the question marks that are coming up. So, you know, maybe this thing is getting old and outdated here because we're doing things electronically and we're not doing them the old style. Fifth Amendment. We know Fifth Amendment. Plead the Fifth, huh? Well, that's in another one, yeah. Self-incrimination. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia. Saying at times of war and under the Military Code of Justice, they handle that business there. When in actual service in time of war, public danger. Okay, that exception is when actual service or in time of war or public danger. Nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb. It's a double jeopardy clause. If you're declared innocent concerning a given crime, you can't be tried again in any other court. says, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. So, here are the amendments. Interesting where I found these amendments and copied them was the ACLU. There's the Constitution. It's interesting they've done so much to actually undermine so many of these things. Sixth Amendment. It's okay. I mean, it's okay. This is a wake-up call. I'm reading it. Okay? I'm trying to remember these things, too, as we go, when I hit them, and I've been through this two or three times already today. Okay? And I'm going back through this thing going, it's not plugged into my head like it needs to be. Because I need to be able to identify when somebody is going after this, because it's not that they're just going after my rights. They're trying to tear down the fabric of the United States. And the fabric of the United States gets torn down and the world follows. That's what happens. That's part of their globalistic idea of a one world government, is to destroy us. So, Sixth Amendment, in all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial. This is absolutely beyond me, how it can take a person convicted of murder 17 years to be executed, going through all the appeals. That I still have trouble wrapping my head around. By an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. The Sixth Amendment, out of that came the Miranda thing. You have the right to remain silent. We do. We have the right to a counsel. You do not have one, one will be appointed for you. We've seen enough cop shows. We know pretty well what those things are. Or something, and they forgot, he didn't know his rights, so he just went ahead and confessed to it, and then because he went ahead and confessed and didn't know his rights, then he got let off. And then under the, you can't be tried twice, right? So there are issues there to be confronted with witnesses. Does any of this sound biblical? If you went back under the Mosaic law, could you find these things? Two or more witnesses. By the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every fact be confirmed. Under the Mosaic law, you had the right that the accuser had to face you. Under the Mosaic law too, which I don't find here. But if I were to charge somebody with murder and testify that they committed murder and they found that I was lying, then I bore the penalty that he would have received. If I accuse somebody of theft and it's proven that they stole something, depending on what it was, under the Mosaic law, they'd have to repay three or four or five times. If I accuse them of theft and they didn't do it and they were found innocent, I got to repay three, four, or five times. That cut down the frivolous lawsuits, didn't it? Seventh Amendment. These are called a Bill of Rights. Okay? In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved. And no fact tried by jury shall otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States. That's double jeopardy, actually. Then according to the rules of common law. Eighth Amendment. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. I think the framers understood cruel and unusual punishment, but I think they also, based on their background, understood the principle of justice and fairness. So, you know, you commit a heinous crime on someone, and then you're worried about how you're going to die, and really it's fairly quick. Ninth Amendment, the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Isn't that interesting? The Constitution says when it comes to the rights of the people, this is not an exhaustive statement of them. There may be other ones we have missed. Okay? So, certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage other rights retained by the people. 10th Amendment. This is the one they really want to get rid of. And this is the one they're doing everything they can do to get rid of already. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. States' Rights Amendment. So states have the rights to make decisions concerning different things that they're going to do, laws that they're going to make.
Who does this supersede the Constitution? Does it supersede the Supreme Court?
The Bill of Rights?
No. No, the Fifth Amendment, nullification of unconstitutional federal law.
What you're saying is no matter how the Supreme Court is ruled, exactly.
It's been done.
Yeah.
Not in recent years, but it has been done.
Not successfully. They've tried to invoke that multiple times. Now,
lesbians and
well, see that one of the things is that they are assuming they're pleading Ninth Amendment on the same-sex marriage thing, and saying that they have the right to marry one another. Okay, but the 10th Amendment says the states can make that determination of who they'll issue marriage licenses to and who they won't. Okay, so they have basically nullified the states who voted that way, which is that's going in front of the Supreme Court again here before long. So, you can't legislate morality. You can't do that, but you don't turn immorality loose at the same time. That's not the solution to the problem. So, the Bill of Rights are there. The other amendments have been put in, and the Constitution has been changed. It has been able to be changed. There's a lot of things floating around that you'd think, hey, I'd like to add an amendment to that, and I'd like to add another amendment to that. And I wrote a congressman and asked about the amendment that said Congress shall make no law that does not apply also to the Congress and executive branch. So you can't exempt yourself from certain things and make yourself a nice little nest egg and pull yourself out of these things. And the response I got back from the congressman said, that's an amendment that sounds very good. He said, but my concern is opening the door on constitutional amendments. Because you get enough people headed in the wrong direction, and then what you end up with is it becomes real easy to do away with the Constitution. He saw far enough down the road that he said, I got a problem if we start doing this, especially on something like that. What you need to do is not elect those people that go in there and exempt themselves. That's what needs to be done. But we're not good at doing that. Now, they want to do away with the Constitution of the United States because its citizens are wealthy, its citizens are powerful, and they want to bring them down. They want to bring them down to a point that they can control them. So how do they intend to do that? I started doing research on the International Criminal Court. Now, if you remember the study of world history, you go back into high school and you study the United Nations, you end up with the International Court of Justice that comes out of the United Nations. This is different. The International Criminal Court was set up July 1st of 2002 and is located in Hague of the Netherlands. In July of 2013, there were 122 parties that had joined to this, and it's established by treaty, and it's called the Rome Statute. Now, is there anything about a revived Roman Empire you ever maybe have heard about anywhere in Scripture? Part of who is driving, part of the driving force on this is a group called the Club of Rome that's been around a long time, and they're trying to bring all this back and bring back the glory of Rome. Google them. It's not hard to find. Oh, and by the way, you can go to the Illuminati website now. They've came out of the shadows into the light. I guess they feel like maybe it's time to be enlightened. I don't recommend you spend a whole lot of time there other than to know that, yeah, it is, there is such a thing and it's out there. The International Court of Justice was set up to try war crimes, crimes against humanity, and genocide. They have brought 36 indictments so far. The Palestinians are trying to join this. And so far, they have been blocked by the European Union. Now, it makes me wonder what's going on here with a lot of these people that really want to be a part of this and run this International Criminal Court, because it's established by treaty. What can supersede the Constitution? An international treaty. You read the different elements of the Constitution. That's why it's important. You don't want a bunch of knuckleheaded senators in there. It's going to take, a 2/3 vote to sign an international treaty. But what happens if the international treaty goes in and the world decides it wants to ban guns, ban private ownership of guns? Okay, because that actually is, they've been trying to carry that out now for years. To put it in front of a international tribunal, make a treaty on it, and therefore come and take your firearms away. Yeah.
You said that an international treaty can supersede the Constitution.
Yeah. A treaty can be made that, I forget the exact wording and for the exact article that it's found in, but a treaty is something found within the Constitution that if they make an international treaty, the treaty becomes the law of the land because it deals internationally.
Eliminates the Bill of Rights?
They could. Well, what I'm saying is this is what they're going to do. I mean, this is the way to try and do it, because if you have international law now says it's illegal for you to own a gun, because if you have a gun, you might commit a crime against humanity. Okay? With the might be, then they can use this to send an international force in to try and take your firearm away. George. Way more than we'd want to admit to.
Well,
I will, and I'll tell you why. I go to 2 Timothy 3, which is in the last days, difficult times will come. And unbelievers are involved in this, but the question is dealing with the church. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, realize this, in the last days, difficult times will come. And then just ask yourself, is this part of the church, what he's getting ready to describe? And he says, men will be lovers of self. That's narcissism. That's hedonistic word, hedonism there. Lovers of money. Boastful, arrogant, revilers. Disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips without self-control, brutal and haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness. And that's the one that grabs me. Holding to a form of godliness, but they have denied its power. And avoid such men as these. Godliness is eusebia. Can be used as a devotion to a pagan god. The word can be used there, but it is a word that means an awe or reverence of God. Now, there is a people throughout Judaism went through the motions and contributed to the first advent and yelling crucify. The bride of Christ, it's supposed to be better, but the bride of Christ, composed mostly of Gentiles, the bride of Christ, I think, has made a lot of the same mistakes and are making them now. Part of what they're trying to bring about here is this coexist movement, which so sounds so good. But coexist, basically, would do, imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. I mean, it's going to try and bring all these world religions together, and that we're all headed to the same, down the same path, like Chrislam. You know, major churches in the United States are trying to say they're one and the same, and that just, they're not. Go to Muslim.org and you'll prove that they're not one and the same. So how much has the church contributed? I think a lot. But I think also there's the restraint of it in the church by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that's there, that when the rapture happens, this stuff is rampant. There is no checks and balances on it. And I, you know, we're kind of the what I came back with from the pre-trib thing was push back. So where do you push back? You know what your rights are as a good citizen of the United States. You know what the Scripture says, and you hold that as your first law. You function as a good citizen, and we're not going to slow it down with God's timing, but we might be we don't want to be swept along with the flood either. I don't think we want to consciously be a part of it. And I'm really saddened by the fact that a lot of Christians don't even seem to really care anymore. They're just interested in their cookies and milk, and don't know, don't care, and don't think. This court is just getting started now, and they're going after some really bad guys. The African Union wanted to come together and try people. Some of the African nations have dictators that were just something else. And one of the people they indicted was Muammar Gaddafi. That was one of the ones. They were going to bring him to, you know, try him for war crimes and crimes against humanity and things like this. And then that's part of the people that they have indicted. They're going to go after the really bad guys that nobody likes. They just went after a guy in January 6th of this year, this month. American Special Forces went and got a guy named Dominique Ongwen, who is one of the soldiers of the Lord's Resistance Army, and they brought him to the court for trials for genocide. Now, when we hear Lord's Resistance Army, the first thing I would ask is, well, are they a Christian? Are they dragging Christians in front of that court yet? And the answer to that is, from the research I found, that they started off, the Lord's Resistance Army started off as the Holy Spirit's movement. And that's the way it began. Some lady had a vision or something, and this vision was that she needed to throw out the government of Uganda. And what I can tell you, Uganda is not... there's not a lot of honor floating around that country that we've had contact with. And she wanted to do this, and she wanted to do it by force. And out of this group came this Lord's Resistance Army, and they're some of the people that are recruiting 10-year-olds and 12-year-olds and turning them into soldiers and turning them into really nasty people. So these are some of the guys that they're going after. But what I found interesting is that our special forces went and rounded him up and handed him over to the court. So is there anything that... Are we involved in this to one degree or another? And, you know, what I'm showing here is just... It's out there readily available if you look for it. What are we doing? Rounding people up and handing them over to international courts. And they were ordered to do it. Our guys were good soldiers, did their job, and we're happy to have them. But it kind of indicates that there are powerful people trying to push us in this direction. And how far are we going to get before Jesus comes and the trumpet blows? I don't know. I don't know. But it looks like things are really coming together for the sound of the trumpet. It's all set up for the tribulation. You pull the church out of here. Just follow this scenario. You pull the church out of here. One out of six people on the planet are gone. One out of six people on the planet, and a lot of them are fairly wealthy. They're not the wealthiest people in the world, but there's some of them in the top list, and they're gone. But you pull... that people, you're going to probably pull a third to half of the United States out of here. And then what happens to your workforce? What happens to your tax base? What happens to your financial system? The economy collapses. What happens when the world economy collapses? That's another class. What happens if the dollar collapses? The dollar collapses, the world collapses. Because the other nations around the world, they use American dollars as their reserves. You know what the ruble is worth in Russia right now? Almost nothing. Almost nothing. Their gold and their silver, their reserves, and a whole big stack of American money. Okay? That's where things come from. So what happens if the dollar collapses? Then all their reserves have collapsed worldwide. So how are you going to consolidate power? You have to collapse the money that everybody else is plugged into. And then you substitute a new one. And there are people working on that right now. So what would the Antichrist do? You know, what, the mark of the beast, so you can buy and sell, and the rationing and all those things that go along with it? The technology is in place. The worldviews are in place. The players are in place. The Antichrist is not on the scene yet, and the false prophet. But everybody's in place. After the rapture is a big vacuum. Nature abhors a vacuum. It's going to fill it with a power base. And the power base that rises up is going to be totally evil. And that's going to be 7 years of tribulation. So everything is set to go in the world. See, 200 years ago, if the dollar would have collapsed, the world would have burped. Would have been about it. Because they had their own currencies. See, as long as you got everybody with their own currency, one may falter. Okay, but if it croaks, it's just that country. And the rest of them keep going. But when everything is interconnected, the dominoes fall, all of them fall. Anyway, now, I paint real bad pictures on this thing. But we're going to skip to point four, good news. Heard a whole lot of good news. None of this surprises the Lord. He's already planned for it. He says, you just be an overcomer of the last days. You want your marching orders, what to do. Devotional for this week. Read Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. The letters to the seven churches, because in a way they all apply to us. Because there's good things and there's bad things in those churches. The bad things we don't want to be involved in, the good things we want to be involved in, and we want to be found doing them when Jesus comes. That's what we want to do. And the good news is, it can be done by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, in spite of how bad it is, the Lord says, be strong and courageous. He says, fear not, for I am with thee. All the don't be afraid commands found in Scripture. If we choose to put our trust in Him, then one day we'll hit the point, like David did in Psalm 56, what's man able to do to me? What's man able to do to me? Kill me? So what? Take my gun? So what? Take all my rights? Really? So what? What can he do to me? Send me to be with my Heavenly Father. That's not bad. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this day, for your grace, love, and mercy. We thank you for all you've done. We ask, Father, that you will indeed be with us. Let us not be discouraged, but be encouraged by the Holy Spirit. Let us not be afraid, but, Father, let us be bold, to be willing to carry out the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God for salvation to all who believe. Let us not be ashamed of it, but let us tell people about it. In Jesus' name, amen.